You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
What it is, what it do, welcome to Fresh Take, the Sharpshooter Wrestling Podcast. Joshua Adam Lay, Marvin's not here with the Senator.
What's happening?
Man, it's been a second, Senator, since it's just been you and I on a show.
Yeah, honestly, to tell you the truth, I think life just really gets in the way for both of us at times, and when one is available, the other isn't, so.
We make time when need be. And hey, you know, the exciting thing is, outside of the wrestling part, which is a fun time for wrestling, is we are like a month away from football starting up. So 7K fans, we're coming back. And as you see here, now we're on StreamYard. Shout out to Senator, because he was the one that suggested this. So when we get to 7K season, we're going to be able to go live in all our glory and share it. Once I figure out this Instagram live thing on here, because that is confusing as all hell to figure out the Instagram side of this thing. But right now we're live on X, we're live on YouTube, and ready to go.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for 7K to kick off. It's going to be one of those seasons where each week there's going to be a few of us bragging and a few of us aren't. So It'll be good to see, but honestly, I'm excited for that. We do need to try to come together within like the next like 2 or 3 weeks for like the NBA, the ISO, and just try to review some of the
trades. I don't think Coach and I are ready for that yet.
I don't think y'all are necessarily, but there's been a lot. I seen that you did the solo one.
Yeah, just some solo ones. They're fun. I might even do a solo one tonight, potentially, just to recap stuff. I had fun doing stuff during the draft, and obviously I've gotten to see some of those talents in the position that I am in. So I wanted to review on that side of things. But, yeah, it's been an interesting side of the NBA. You know, and I know we're doing a wrestling pod here, but I will say for the NBA, it's been a lot slower of an offseason than I projected. When you see the NHL right now, it's like boom, 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 all these exciting things going. And obviously the CBA plays a factor into all of that.
Yeah, you gotta look at we're seeing people sign like 8 years, $12 million deals in NHL, and then you're looking at the NBA and you're seeing 5 years, $312 million. Shout out Jason Tatum. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like The money is just different.
It's nuts.
The money is just different.
It's nuts. I think, too, for that CBA is that second-tier apron now, teams are treating that like a hard cap. So mm-hmm. You're seeing guys like LeBron that will take $1 million less so they don't get triggered by that second cap, the second apron cap, because that can just kind of change everything. But we'll talk about stuff in the ISO another day. We're here to talk about Money in the Bank weekend. But before we get into a busy weekend here in the WWE, up where we live in Canada, but a little bit further away from us in Toronto, let's recap AEW. It's been a busy week for AEW. They had the Forbidden Door pay-per-view, and then they had a pretty intriguing Dynamite as well. Senator, you and I kind of talked about some of the stuff off-air, but give me some of your thoughts about the Forbidden Door.
Okay, so I liked the pay-per-view. I'm just not a big, like, full pay-per-view Forbidden Door. I've never really been the biggest fan of that pay-per-view. Like, I feel at times if you're looking at doing, if you're looking at creative booking, there's so many times where, like, the matches for Forbidden Door isn't booked until like the week before. Mm-hmm. And then you're sitting there and you're like, okay, well, now I gotta tune in for what are the matches, and then I have to look in, like, I'll know the full rundown on Thursday, compared to when they do All In or All Out, where they built, where they're trying to build towards it. But the Swerve match,
great.
Swerve, Ospreay, amazing. Shout, I want to give Ospreay props because supposedly it was his idea to lose, to put over Swerve.
Yeah, because people were treating Swerve like he was a paper champion.
Yeah. So. And like that selflessness are the type of stuff that you want in your company to help build your company.
I think we can agree Ospreay is the number one guy in the company.
Unfortunately, because Swerve finally got to that position.
Yeah.
And Ospreay, from the time he signed, it was, this is Ospreay's company. So even him putting him over, like I said, I commend the selflessness, but we know what it is.
I mean, I think Ospreay at this point is just allergic to having good matches. Bad matches, excuse me. I don't think he knows how to have a bad match. I think I haven't, like, from pretty much from like 2010 to now, like, it, we had a period there where there was AJ Styles. Well, even back then, it was like, it was Kurt Angle, and then he kind of gave the baton to Bryan Danielson, and then it was kind of a mix of AJ and Bryan Danielson that had this, and then Ospreay now took it. Okada had it a bit there. Kenny had it. But it's kind of a combination of those five guys that have kind of carried the baton of just like, yeah, this is by far the best wrestler in the world. And, I mean, as we're halfway through the year, I do think there is a lot of questions of who's going to win certain year-end awards. I think one that might already be done as Wrestler of the Year being Will Ospreay.
Yeah. Ospreay is, the thing that I like about him is it's like he learned from the AJ Styles school, mm-hmm. where it is how to maneuver and do your style of match with anybody.
Yeah.
Which is kind of hard to do for a lot of people. They can't switch their styles up. And that's why we saw a bad Jay versus Jimmy match. That's why we saw, like, because the style switches aren't being able. But let's not knock AJ Styles, man. AJ Styles has had...
He's putting up good work, man. I can't wait to see him at Slammiversary.
Yeah, at his age, putting up those type quality matches, especially Backlash France.
Yeah.
Like, you can't knock that right there.
I didn't like how in Scotland how that match ended. You and I never got a chance to talk. I did that preview by myself.
Yeah.
I didn't like how they made AJ go out there. But I'm sure there's a reason to, and we haven't seen AJ since. And I think there's a reason to that. That's the one thing I do like about WWE is, like, you know, you kind of conclude a story and then they kind of go away and you can understand the reason. Whereas in AEW right now, I think, you know, speaking about the half year awards, we can all agree the worst gimmick was that Adam Cole group. They've obviously, with the MJF heel turn this week, we can officially know now that they've given up on that storyline, that they, I don't know how much longer Adam Cole is going to take to come back, but I think they kind of feel that it was not going to work. And, you know, from the moment it happened, even in January, when we were talking about the Rumble and WrestleMania and everything like that, and so on, we were talking about how bad of a group and a gimmick it was. And I think now with the MJF heel turn, we can fully admit now, yeah, that was the worst of the year.
You said it. Undisputed Kingdom. Don't know what the hell was going on there. I think they thought of a certain timeline that Adam Cole might come back, but at the same time, you got to understand the people that are in the group and what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. And I feel like, and I said this to you earlier before we even started recording, was that I'm not going to super knock AEW because no. WWE had so many years where they didn't understand anything. But coming off of what happened with what's supposed to be their biggest star on Dynamite, or one of their biggest stars on Dynamite, and that go away heat that she got.
Yeah. Talking about Mercedes.
I'm talking about Mercedes. And yeah. I'm one of those people that never badmouth Mercedes, Sasha Banks. But since she signed, they never really put her in the position to win.
And I thought Bischoff, you hear what Eric Bischoff said about her?
Nah, last thing I heard from Eric Bischoff was when he was closing out Who Killed WCW.
Yeah, I thought he had a good point of just saying, like, and if you've watched it, I do want to talk about that doc, because I haven't had a chance to talk about that doc yet with anyone. But Bischoff just said, like, you bring someone in like Mercedes, and you know her strong point is not talking. Her strong point is in the ring. And then you delay her showing off that talent with her cutting single promos in the ring. And yeah, she has to be a babyface when she comes. She's going to get the pop, all that. But he said, you know, stringing it out for 6 weeks of her cutting promos doesn't help. And I brought this up in our group chat. I don't know if her bragging about creative control helped either. I'm sure people didn't really like that. I believe she's like one of the only people in AEW that has full creative control. I think that was a mark point for her to choose AEW instead of coming back to WWE. But for whatever the reason is, she does have a little bit of go away heat right now from the crowd. I mean, in the match that she had a Forbidden Door, I think they got behind Stephanie and they were like, oh, we don't haven't seen her this perform before. We're liking her. But I think there's also a minor side of cringe and go away heat that they feel from Mercedes right now.
How's the best way I can put this? The best way I can put this is, you haven't fully gotten her over, and then you brought in the fully over homegrown talent, doesn't make sense. I know you want to lead up to All In, but you shouldn't have had her come out at the end of the match.
We still have just 2 months.
Yeah, just for that pop.
Yeah.
If they changed the segment, to me, I feel like they would, if they changed the segment where Britt came out after the championship celebration for Mercedes, then it would have been a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But now you have Monet coming out in the middle of a passionate speech by Britt trying to talk about her recovery, what she's gone through, what her future lies, and then you interrupt it with, and I've been saying this, I'm consistent. I don't care who are friends with the Young Bucks. Why did the Young Bucks have to be a part of it? I know they're trying to use this whole EVP gimmick, but to me, it just always seems like them trying to include themselves more and more into the show, and it gets annoying.
Do you, what gimmick is, like, the Bucks and the Jericho gimmick are like one and the same, where it's like, I hate it, but I know I'm supposed to hate it, but no, like, I actually do hate it.
Are you asking me which one I hate the most?
Both of them, but it's also kind of like, haha, you're supposed to hate us. I'm like, yeah, but I don't for the reason you think.
Oh, yeah. Both of them have that same type of feel. When the Bucks limit how often they do it on the show, to me, I get behind it a little bit more. Actually, no. Scratch that. When Okada is the person that does it, that's when I'm like, this is amazing. Right? When it's the Bucks, it's just always been too, to me, it's always just been too much Young Bucks.
Yeah.
Well, and they just don't too much Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
So
I'm surprised Jericho just hasn't gone, like, even in WWE, he had those runs that he'd go away for like 6 months. I'm surprised he doesn't, like, just, you know, go away and do a Fozzy tour and kind of rehab himself and come back.
I think maybe he's just looking like he just wants to really just, for the last little bit of his contracts and stuff like that, he just wants to show his consistency. Mm-hmm. But to me, it just, if he left and came back and still had like a 2.0 Jericho Appreciation Society, like, no one would care as like wanting him to go away. But now it's just been so much Jericho, and then all the groups end up as a Jericho Appreciation. It's just the same gimmick consistently.
With a little bit of a change.
With a little bit of a change and a new name.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and then the MJF turn, sure. I mean, he's better with it. Yeah. I've been on here repeatedly, and I mentioned it. I just don't get the Daniel Garcia thing. And here's the problem with the turn. Like, so he turns on Daniel Garcia and beats down Daniel Garcia, but I'm pretty sure the match for Wembley is against Ospreay. So what are we getting out of this? Like, it should be Garcia probably coming back to get his revenge against MJF, and maybe he'll interfere in the match. But the match that I think we're gonna get is Will versus Max.
The weird part about it was, don't bring Will back out at the end of the beatdown. Like, yeah, that beatdown was going down forever. And then he came out. Like, it was probably, they went into overrun with the beatdown.
It was I think Pollock said it was a 15-minute overrun in Dynamite this week.
Yeah, because once they came off, and they went back to regular scheduled program, it was halfway through the Modern Family episode. And I was like, all right, cool. But I just didn't get it. Did not get it.
And like I said, they've obviously given up on the Adam Cole stuff for now. They can always find their way back to it, but they've given up on that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Any other thoughts from AEW at all? I mean, I will say, too, the Britt segment, really good segment. I mean, she's pouring her heart out and everything like that. And the crowd was like, I don't know how to react to this.
I think it's a very weird crowd. I think the crowd, because the crowd is so used to heel Britt.
Mm-hmm.
So for her to come out and cut like a real passionate thing to talk about what she's gone through, like some of the medical terms that she was using, people aren't going to understand that. And then like when she started to talk about like the right side, I was like, oh, she's talking about a mini stroke, like right away before she even mentioned anything. But then again, like I said, the problem was then you had the Buck involvement with, and it was just like, okay, like you're kind of doing things in a little reverse order than it needed to be. Like I would have preferred if Monet was doing the championship celebration, she comes out. If you're not going to have Britt cut her own promo, have her interrupt, keep that a little bit shorter where she's just kind of like, you don't even know what I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was the person that built this company up and had to take a break, you got the red carpet to come in. But this is still, you could even steal a line from AJ Styles if you really wanted to. And just be like, this is AEW still the house that Britt Baker built. You know what I mean? Yeah, like
I'm a pillar.
You could have gotten so many different things out. It was just, I appreciated Britt Baker. I even think Britt, like, without being too passionate when Monet interrupted, even that small little moment, Britt kind of destroyed Monet in there. And it's kind of like, you don't want to put her in such a position. And you keep putting her in those positions since she's been hired.
Yeah, I don't think Mercedes has even won a promo battle yet.
I can't say she has. And if somebody can tell me when she has, I will go back and watch it, and you might be right. But it's been, what, 3 months now?
Yeah, I mean, the most important women's program, like I've the most important free agent that AEW has had outside of Ospreay has been Mariah May. She's been an MVP on this program right now. And I am, you know, Britt and Mercedes, I get it. It's a very interesting program for a lot of people, and it'll be a very good wrestling match. But the buildup to Mariah winning and then Tony eventually turning on her, that is way more interesting of a story. And everything they did to Forbidden Door with that match, I am way more interested in Tony versus Mariah May.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or even, and here's the weird thing. I would even take a three-way with them two and Jamie Hayter if she can get back in time. Like,
yeah, I was hoping that Jamie would be back soon.
We're looking at, there's so many different possibilities. Like, AEW has the roster. To me, it's just the booking.
Yeah. Well, and how many women's programs are we going to have? Like, we'll have Britt and Mercedes. We're going to have Mariah and Tony. Is Willow going to make this card, or is she just going to be in 0 hour? Because I think Willow is outside of Mariah May soon, and maybe Britt. I mean, I could argue Willow is your number one woman's baby face. I could make that strong argument.
I feel like she'll be in the all in 0 hour.
That's one.
I don't see her on the card. And like what kind of solidified it to me was that they had the Chris Statlander Willow match already.
I know. Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff with the Owen was great, but I mean, even the Jeff thing, it's like they have Collision in Memphis on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
So why not just have Jeff win the match this week? Whoever you want face Adam Page, and then have Jeff in Memphis lose that match, because you get way more heat beating Jeff a match away from the Owen Championship and losing in Memphis. You get way more heat. It's such easy booking.
After such a passionate promo video, it's just... And like I said, I'm not trying to dogpile on AEW, because WWE has definitely, over the years, I've gotten a lot of, there's been so many times where I wanted to be like, I'm done watching wrestling because of WWE.
Yeah.
This is
2019, man. The dog food.
Yeah, like.
And the Shane McMahon stuff was a lot. 2019 was one of the worst years in wrestling. And that's when AEW started. And I think that's the reason we needed AEW more than ever at that point.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I don't want anyone to think that I'm dogpiling on AEW, and that my preference is to watch WWE, but I still tune into AEW.
Well, let's talk about the bright sides really quick. Like we said, Ospreay is the best wrestler in the world. He's doing great. Mm-hmm. I think Swerve has been one of the best champions in the company's history. We got some Dipset. We got Jim Jones coming out with him. That was surreal to see. I think Brian is doing some of the best work of his career. He had a great match. His match versus Pac was great.
His two matches, one against Shingo and the one against Pac.
I'm assuming he's still going to face Nigel. I think that's where we're going.
I feel like there's no way that you can bring up that Brie line.
Yeah, that was
wild. And you're not going to wrestle. So
yeah, so I think everything that Brian's doing and... like I said, I think Willow is doing fantastic work. Blood and Guts should be interesting. I don't want to dogpile on it. I feel like we said a lot, but if Blood and Guts is the team is Briscoe, Kyle O'Reilly, and the Acclaimed, that doesn't interest me as much for Team AEW. So we got it. Like Briscoe, sure, he's going to do crazy bumps and everything like that. But I need Team AEW to be a little bit more exciting than having the Acclaimed in there. All respect to the Acclaimed, but I don't want to see them in a Blood and Guts match.
I agree. There's nothing more for me to say. I just agree.
Yeah. All right. Let's really quickly talk about who killed WCW. Four parts there. First off, just over what you think of the Doc overall.
You know what I liked about the Doc compared to a lot of different ones when they were telling the story to WCW was that they had it from Eric Bischoff's point of view. They had it from Russo's point of view. Like this, it just seemed like everybody, to tell you the truth.
We did need Hogan and Flair, though.
Everybody hated Hogan in that one. And and as a person that does not like Hogan, I appreciated every week of it. Watching them bash Hogan.
Yeah. I thought that was a highlight. It would have been interesting just to get Hogan's thought of mine, and same with Flair's, but I do think they covered enough. I walked away from this really respecting Goldberg from how he talked about it on the documentary with the mm-hmm. Brett feud to going on Busted Open afterwards and just being like, look, like, I don't know what more I can do. I have apologized. I said it was a mistake. I don't know what more I can do.
I didn't care to have Hogan or Flair. I wish they had Sting.
Yeah, you know what? That's what they needed. They needed Stinger.
Yeah. That was the person that I thought was definitely missing from the entire thing.
Yeah, Stinger, they needed him. I don't blame the downfall on Bischoff as much, because I think Bischoff was the one who got you there. Mm-hmm. Giving the creative control to Hogan, not great. That was not a good idea. But I do think, you know, it's a mix of Turner. It's a mix of bad booking by Russo. I think it's, and then a little bit of the inmates running the asylum type of stuff. I think it's a mix of all that.
It was very interesting because I think that this was probably the first real documentary where you got to see what the Turner involvement was and how that kind of shifted everything. And there was just one line that Russo said where Russo was like, I was better than 80% of the on-screen talent, so I knew I had to go out there. And I was like,
that's the problem.
Bro, are you serious?
That's the problem. And that's why guys like Dean and Eddie and Perry all walked out, and Conan wanted to, and Shane Douglas wanted to. You had talented guys there. You made Mike Awesome, who is a good wrestler, the fat chick thriller, yep, or that 80s guy. You had someone like Vampiro, who is an interesting talent. You did terrible stuff with him and Sting. You booked, you know, they had like Sean O'Hare and Chuck Palumbo. I thought that stuff was at least interesting. They got Chronic over at the end there, but even like, you know, you could have tried to separate, kind of like what Paul Heyman was going to do if he got to TNA, if you remember. Oh, yeah. The idea that Heyman was going to have is like, hey, all the old guys, sorry, you're gone, but I will keep Kevin Nash. I just want one to make it all work. And then I'm going to build up the AJ Styles. I'm going to build up the Jay Lethals, the Sanjay Dutts of the world. And we're going to build that way. You had a young Christopher Daniels and a young AJ Styles and Gregory Helms and Jimmy Wayne there at the time. You Shannon Moore. You had young, hungry talent. Rey Mysterio was still there. But, you know, the way that Russo views TV, he didn't care.
It was very interesting because it was like his ego got boosted because he was hired for some of the stuff that he did in WWE. Yeah. And instead of, and I feel like this is not just with wrestling. This is with corporations all around. They will hire the person that they feel made the other company and want them to replicate it in the same, that's in their new one. Company. And that's where the problem lies in, because yes, you may have suggested, you may have written, done all this stuff, but the talent is different.
Yeah.
And so you got to be able to adjust to the talent that you have at that moment compared to the talent that, and don't get it twisted, he did some good things, like putting the title on Booker T. Like we're not fully knocking it. It is just, I like the documentary because they didn't just focus on, okay, this is Hogan's fault why it didn't work, or Flair's fault why it didn't work. It was, let's analyze it from many different point of views, and you draw your own conclusion to who killed WCW. Because even at the end, they couldn't really tell. Everybody had a different answer.
Yeah. You know, and as you talk, I'm actually maybe glad that Flair and Hogan weren't on it, because they were just going to lie more than obviously wrestlers lie, but those two specifically lie the most.
Hogan would have said like his plan was to bring Jeezy in 2000, and Jeezy wasn't even out at that point. Like,
I, you know, the NWO was original, brother, and I created it.
Yeah.
It was me. Like I saw what Eric was doing. I'm like, brother, like that's gotta be me, man.
We already saw what them two did in TNA.
TNA.
So like, it's not like you can turn around and lie about it. Like we've seen this.
We saw it twice.
Yeah.
I did like what Nash said at the end there about Bischoff and Bischoff getting that emotional moment. I do have a lot of respect for Eric. I mean, he is the only person that's really been able to take it to WWE in four decades. He's the only one that had the right chemistry to make it work. And I have a lot of respect for Eric for making that work. Now there's some, and Eric will admit too, there's some mistakes he made. Mm-hmm. You know, the way they beat Goldberg, not the right choice mm-hmm. with the taser and everything like that. Cause you know, I was in my teens when that happened. And I remember, I didn't see that pay-per-view, but I remember just being at school on recess that day and people like, yeah, Scott Hall used a taser. I'm like, that's so lame. And then it did make you want to watch WCW the next day, but then you had the finger poke of doom. And then that was kind of, that's when we had butts in the seats with Foley that same day. And I feel like that's the turning point. That like 48 hours right there for WCW, that's the turning point for me. Because there was still bad stuff. And we can talk about Judy Bagwell in a pole mm-hmm. match and all the bad shit. But that 48 hours, I think you had someone as hot as Goldberg. He wasn't hotter than Austin or Rock, but he was hot. And you wanted to see Goldberg throw people down, and beating him like that wasn't the way to go. I will admit, Nash did bring up a good point when he talked about it. He said, like, listen to the pop. They wanted me to beat Goldberg. And he is right. It was time to do it, but not that way. If he would have done it, you know, with the big boots and maybe like multiple power bombs, then the heat would have been stronger. Even if you did finger poke of doom the next day, I think it's just the idea of the fans of you're spinning in my face back-to-back days.
I honestly just think it came down to one mistake. I don't even blame the finger poke of doom. It's one of those moments where it's easy to be like, yeah, that was a moment, right?
I think it just gives the codes and seeds with Foley winning the title that day.
You just should have never said that Foley was winning the title.
No.
That was, to me, the mistake. Yeah. Everything else before that, after that, because WCW would have still had people.
They were winning thoroughly, that night.
Yeah, they were thoroughly going to watch. Thoroughly going to watch. But once you mentioned that Mick Foley, one of the most beloved people, not just, and remember, before he was in WWF, he had runs in other companies. So he has garnered this love across the wrestling
WCW community. Fans, ECW fans, Japan fans.
And then you mentioned that he is going to be the person that wins the title. It was against The Rock, right?
That's still the loudest pop I've ever heard when Austin comes out. I don't think I've ever heard a louder pop than that.
And then you combine all three of those. Think of those three entities. You have WCW telling you Mick is going to win the championship from The Rock. And a Stone Cold entrance going down and helping Mick Foley.
With DX in the main event as well on his side. And you know, the thing too, like if you remember, that was Hogan coming back that night to take mm-hmm. on Nash. People were interested, like Hogan's back and he's going to kick Nash's ass. That's why WCW was winning the ratings until they said that.
Yeah, that was a mistake. If there was one moment that you should want to take back, it is literally that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not smart.
No.
I agree. Overall, I thought it was a great doc. And I, you know, The Rock didn't need to be part of it, but you know, I'm glad he produced it and gave it to us, but Rock didn't need to be part of it. Just between this documentary and have you seen the WrestleMania 41?
I'm watching that tomorrow.
Yeah. Just there's some stuff with him. I'm just like, boy, you definitely are in that wrestling mix there of just like, I don't believe a lot of stuff. He was like, yeah, you know, I knew it was, you know, the fans and Cody, it was right. And that's when I decided to be the final boss that weekend. I'm like, no, you didn't. Shut up.
People come up to me.
One line he has, Senator, in that I laughed, like, people come up to me and say, thank you for being the final boss. It is the greatest heel in the history of professional wrestling.
You know what? I will give him that.
It's a great heel.
No, I'm going to give him that because he took over from Hogan.
Yeah, this is true.
So, yeah, you can definitely, you know what, Rock? You do what you got to do to make yourself feel better. So, congrats to you. But I am going to watch it. But I saw it was like an hour long, and I was like, I need when I have some actual time to sit down to watch it, I will watch it. So I will watch it tomorrow.
Or YouTube documentaries, WWE, please.
Yeah, they're actually pretty good.
Yeah, I like. Can you put the Bray one on YouTube? That'd be good too.
Oh, I remember just watching the Bray one live. I was like, yeah. And speaking of Bray, let's talk about the Wyatt Sick.
Yeah. Good transition there. You're becoming a better broadcaster every day.
Saturday. I try.
Before we get into Money in the Bank, the Wyatt Six. What did you think? What have you thought? 3 weeks in, I'll say this really quick and let you go. Mm-hmm. I think the presentation over these 3 weeks, all respect, RIP to Bray, has been better than when Bray came back. The return after Bruce released and came back. This 3 week side of things has been way better and way more intriguing.
I disagree.
Okay.
And the only reason why I disagree, I only disagree because his first thing at the end of Extreme Rules was way bigger than the camera angles and everything that they tried to do for this one here. Mm-hmm. Because remember, no one actually knew when it was actually, like the Extreme Rules one, it was the night of, where it was kind of like confirmed, but then you didn't know when it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Then it happened. And then he didn't really say anything. Right. Yeah. And then the second week, you had the SmackDown after.
That was a good promo.
To me, that promo has been one of the best promos in the past 3 years.
It was really good. That was like right from the heart.
Yeah. And that's why it's just those two reasons why I'm like, but don't get to it. I'm not like far off from what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because Bray Howdy, the first mm-hmm. one, I was like,
okay. Talking about Bo?
I mean, Bowen Howdy, the first
yeah,
one great. From that video. I was like, that was great.
That was the best promo of Bo Dallas's career.
Of his career. But you're still in the shadow of your brother. And that mm-hmm.
he always will be.
Yeah. When Bray spoke on that return, I don't think there's ever. That was a one of a kind
promo. I think right I mentioned this on a pod. I don't know if I mentioned it with you, Brent, who is a member of our show.
Shout out, Brent.
Yeah, I mean, obviously his schedule is very limited
yeah.
because of he works mornings. But we were doing a game that night, and we were up in the booth, and we looked down in the crowd in the stands, and I saw 10 people on their phones streaming SmackDown that night to watch the Bray thing. And in a decade of broadcasting, I have never like looked down and seen people watching wrestling in the middle of a game. But there was people that were engaged and wanting to see what Bray said.
Yeah. I remember, I think I watched that promo 3 times to really get everything that he was saying. Because the first time I listened to it, I watched it, it was the passion of what he was saying. And there was a reaching a point where I was like, oh, this isn't a Bray promo. Like, it wasn't a Bray promo. That was a Rotunda promo.
Yeah, it was Wyndham Rotunda.
And I was like, okay. So then I had to go back and rewatch it again. And then it was just, but that Bo, Uncle Howdy, I loved the way how they did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they've done a good job with that. And I mean, I do wonder, like, are we going to get like a Rowan version of this? A Gacy version of this, like, or are we just kind of just laying it down now that Bo is Howdy and Howdy is Bo, just to be the leader, and then that's going to seep into whatever we seep into for SummerSlam?
I feel that they need to, now that the Bo Howdy kind of merger on screen has happened. Mm-hmm. there's nobody else that you kind of want to hear from.
Maybe Rowan.
The only reason why I'm taking away from Rowan is because Rowan was there at the trip at the tribute show.
So you're saying maybe Nikki then?
Alexis.
So that's what I'm wondering. It's why it's six. We have five members. Is Bray just always going to be the a sixth member of it? Or are they going to put Bliss into it?
I was kind of thinking, for the longest time, I was thinking that maybe it was Bray as the sixth member because they kept picking up the lantern on the entrance and stuff. But then I think maybe they're waiting for Bliss for that, like that full clearance that Bliss is back and then she be the sixth, so that you assume that it's going to be Bray as the sixth member, but it's actually Alexis, and then Bray is kind of the overshadowing presence of everybody.
Yeah.
But either way, love it. Love it so far.
Yeah, the backstage assault was wild.
People needed to find a VHS player. I was proud of that because I remember being a kid and having VHSs.
Yeah.
Not even just a kid, like for the longest time having a VHS.
Man, when I went to basketball practice, I had to go on the VCR and preset when Monday Night Raw would be, because we'd have practice the same time as Raw on Mondays. So I had to preset the VCR to tape Raw at the right amount of time so that I could watch Raw when I got home. And that's, you know, today, this is going to be a get off my lawn moment. Kids today don't understand. Like, that was not easy to do. Like, it was like, because sometimes it just didn't work. Right. So you were like, hopefully it works. But like, you had to set the channel, which TSN at that point, I believe, was 21, just after YTV, which was 20. And then you had like, and you would hope there wouldn't be an overrun, because sometimes like, no, there was an overrun. Shoot.
Good old VHS days.
I have like boxes of Monday Night Raws and WCWs all taped, and like, I should get them digitized one time.
You should. I was just about to say that.
Just for the commercials, I have like an old TSN sports desk. Yes, sports desks.
Also, I just want to say this. There's one person that needs to show up this weekend. And that is Joe Hendry.
We were thinking the same.
Yeah. We just got to capitalize on that video, that on his NXT debut.
Yeah, say that pop. That was one of the biggest pops of the year. I think like that pop, the Wyatt pop was big. That pop was big, and then the Heyman on SmackDown. Oh, that was chef's kiss.
I loved it because it was just that I acknowledge that you're not my tribal chief. I was like, okay, because the one thing that Heyman always can do is generate emotions. And the one thing that I'm sad about is that Caleb Braxton is gone from the company, because when Heyman comes back, that's the one person I want to see like pop out to try to like talk to him.
He got her though. He did get her.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that. I was happy for Heyman.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I mean, you say this with Ray as well, but with Heyman, it's just like, how does he just keep on having these legendary moments? And that's like, when we think about Heyman's career, that's now a moment. It's like, oh yeah, when the Bloodline powerbombed him through the table, when he was, what, Heyman's what, 56, 58 years old?
But you know what it is? It's that Heyman understands the business so well at this point
that he stayed up all night to get red shot eyes.
He only takes bumps to really enhance and put somebody over. There's so many times where somebody's in a, where he's like in the corner and they're like trying to talk to him and you feel like they're gonna attack him. Brock is perfect. There's so many times where it was like Paul went out to like reason with somebody, they think, and then Brock's music comes out and then he walks out.
Yeah, I can only think of like three times he's been attacked, from Brock, from Joe, and now this.
Yeah. Just simple stuff. But because you know that most times nobody puts a hand on Heyman.
No.
So that emphasizes what that attack was. Yeah. But the problem that I'm seeing with the bloodline at this point. The thing that they were worried about for the longest is what actually happened. And that is Jacob Fatu, Little Bro's Solo Sikoa.
Oh my, he's a star. We knew this, but he is a super duper star.
He Little Bro's all three of them, to tell you the truth. And he's only been there, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, is he getting into the country?
Probably not.
I saw there were some rumors that Jay got stuck at the border today, too.
There is. Jay got in the last time, but I think they had to, like, apply for something way beforehand.
He did some post of, like, Drake, save me, or something like that.
Yeah. Today. Yeah. Jay. Yeah, but I don't think. What's his name is going to make it in there. But.
Jeff Fatu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Jacob can travel to a lot of the international countries that they're going to. And I feel like that's why they kind of held off on his debut. But
I wonder how long, like, because did MVP do travel? He did European travel, right?
MVP did European travel.
Because they both got arrested for a similar thing. Both got arrested for robbery, right?
But I think one was, like, sealed a lot earlier than the other. So then it kind of...
They were both around the same age. He did his MVPs. But MVP, was he tried as a juvenile?
He was... If I remember, he wasn't actually, like, fully convicted like that. So he was convicted on, like, a lesser charge. Mm-hmm. And then, which was able to be sealed a lot earlier than Jacob Fatu's own. And that's where... You have those issues, but honestly, Jacob Fatu is just a star, and
the music too. CFO, not CFO. Who does it now? Who does the music now? I forgot.
I don't even pay attention to who makes the music anymore.
But it was CFO. Good. The music was good.
The music, the entrance, the pyro, the everything. It just
the shirt.
Yeah, it just made everybody else look
small. Did you see that the Usos have another brother? That's like on the Indies right now. Yeah. And then we have Zilla, Umaga's kid. It's like never ending.
No. It's a, there's a few of them. But Zilla's in Reality of Wrestling.
Yeah.
And so I think they're really going to take their time with him.
Yeah. I see him in NXT in maybe 2 years.
Yeah. I see him doing the solo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get to this weekend because we're in Toronto.
Yeah, one last thing really quick, too. When Heyman comes out with Roman, that pop is going to be unbelievable.
You know what I would prefer? If Paul shows up, because that pop is going to be right there.
And then Roman after him?
And then Roman right after that. Then that pop just elevates. Or ideally, to tell you the truth, if they're going to do like the Civil War thing, have Paul kind of just like in the background where you can't, like, he's like trying to reach out to like Jimmy and reach out to Jay and but you don't actually ever see him. Mm-hmm. Then you have Paul, then you have Jimmy, then you have Jay, then you have Roman. That is the, hey Cap, we're on your left. That moment right there. Like,
and then you get the honorary Oos back.
Get the honorary Oos because Sammy, he's a part of the family.
Yes, he is. Yeah. All right. So we have Money in the Bank in the six this week. Senator, do you have peeps going to this show?
Honestly, no. I was kind of upset when I found out how much the Heat Wave tickets were.
How much were they?
There was. Last week they were selling for, you could get kind of like nosebleed-ish, but it's in the smaller arena. It was in the Scotiabank Arena, so there were 150.
Yeah, okay.
And I was like, that's not bad. I would still pay those.
By the way, Dynamite floor tickets right now are going for $34 at the Dome on Wednesday.
Oh, you know my thought.
Oh, I know. I just saw that today. Damn, okay. I forgot the Calgary show was coming up that fast.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I am. I have a few people that they were upset that they didn't get the tickets early to go to Money in the Bank, and then they were thinking about going to Heat Wave. I just, if I knew the Heat Wave tickets were that, I would have tried to go. Yeah.
Well, on the Friday before the show, we should talk about Sami Zayn and friends and everything they're doing with Johnny Knoxville right now. Friend of the pod, Andrew Fun, will be involved in this as well. I wish they were streaming this because I'm actually interested in what this show is going to be.
I like that they're allowing people to really do the outside stuff. And that is amazing. We already saw what they did at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So I can imagine what his comedy show would be like.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And whatever they do with Knoxville. And then talking about outside, too, just before we get to money, the Creed's doing Bloodsport. Shayna Baszler's doing it, but the Creed's doing Bloodsport should be really, really cool.
It's so interesting how, because there's so many different things, like Io's about to go do... AJ's doing Noah. Io is doing Marigold.
Is that... That's Rossi's new promotion, right?
That's Rossi's new promotion. Yeah. Io's doing that one. Baszler already did Bloodsport and now doing it again. We have no idea what's going to happen in TNA.
Dempsey was in TNA yesterday.
Dempsey and Izzy Dame.
Yeah.
But then I'm saying we don't know if AJ and the Good Brothers might pop up there.
TNA already has the title match done for the world title. So I was a little disappointed in that. I'm like, you got to put AJ in there. Come on.
That's what I'm saying. You just never know when he might pop up.
Like it's Joe Hendry's pay-per-view to win. Because they have Moose, Josh Alexander, Steve Macklin, Nemeth, Frankie, and Joe Hendry. That seems like it should be Hendry's time.
Obi wants to fight Moose.
Oh, please.
At Worlds Collide?
Yes. Like, they should do that during the SummerSlam or before the Germany show?
The SummerSlam or Survivor Series.
Survivor Series would be cool.
Yeah. But yeah, no. It's this kind of global takeover that they're trying to do. Global partnership takeover that they're trying to do. I like it because they're not just dedicating a whole pay-per-view to it. And this is not to go back to knock AEW. I'm just saying, you can still focus on your show while lending talents elsewhere.
Well, and it helps out now. Brian tried so hard, Nick Khan tried to, let him go to New Japan when he was there, but I think that was still under the Nasty Man regime. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of documentaries, I want to know where this Bill Simmons documentary is, if it's ever going to come out now, by the way.
I don't even feel like it's going to come out.
Yeah. I think that regime was different. But all right, let's get into Money in the Bank. We have Money in the Bank, and then we have NXT Heat Wave. We start off with a six-man tag team match. Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens against the Bloodline. We are assuming it is the Gorillas of Destiny and Solo, correct?
Yeah. I say
the Bloodline wins this because that makes more sense going into SummerSlam with Solo and Cody.
Yeah, for the longest time, I had Solo pinning Cody on this one. But then I thought, the problem is that KO and Tama Tonga are in the match. So either one of them are getting pinned. Mm-hmm. So I'll give it to Bloodline. Solo pins Owens.
Okay. Yeah, I think the same thing. You want to keep Bloodline strong, and Randy, KO, and Cody don't need this. By the way, we should mention on SmackDown really quickly that DIY will be taking on Waller and Theory for the tag titles. Do you see a title change?
Yes.
I'm wondering no, because I could see it be Owens and Orton against them at SummerSlam.
I don't know. It's just all over the place, to tell you the truth.
They're not a good tag team, and they're obviously teasing the breakup as well between the two. And DIY had that moment in Toronto. I got to see them in that 2 out of 3 match against FTR. It was maybe one of the best matches I've seen live. So I could see them having that moment in Toronto again.
That's the only reason why I was kind of like, I have DIY winning.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to, you know, again, I love these WWE shows because there's only 5 matches.
Yeah.
It's great.
Keep it simple.
It's a good card, by the way. I'm really excited about this card. Intercontinental Championship match, Sammy versus Breaker. I'm picking Sammy to win this match because it's in Toronto. It's in Canada. I pick Braun to win at SummerSlam.
I'm going to choose Sammy to win this match. Breaker to win on Monday.
Monday?
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, everything with Breaker has been great. What happened to Ricochet? Never heard about him ever again.
Oh, yeah. Disappeared.
Disappeared. Disappeared. I think the Sammy title reign, it never had to be long, but I think it has been good. It's produced some good matches. You know, it increased the Gable storyline. But eventually you need to get this title to Breaker because he's one of your next big stars in the company.
Oh, he already is.
Yeah.
Already.
And so you want to still build. I mean, I don't know if he's the Rumble winner this year. I think he's about a year away from the Rumble win. But you want to build up here with the IC championship right now for him as you move. I mean, unless your idea is IC champion Braun versus world champion Gunther, I could see that as well.
I have an idea of, and I don't want to tell you what my idea is until we get to the
Money next. The bank.
Yeah. So,
okay. Okay. So we both have Sammy winning this match. The last chance match. If Seth wins, he can't challenge for the title as long as Priest is champion. And if Priest wins, he has to leave Judgment Day. I'm picking Damian Priest to win this match.
I'm choosing Priest to win by the help of Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Which leads to their feud.
Yeah, I mean, it's too bad. I'm obviously always going to be happy to see Gunther. I kind of wish that the SummerSlam match was Finn and Priest. It makes much more storyline sense.
Gotta get that build on Gunther.
Yeah. I agree. All right. The women's Money in the Bank match. We have Io Sky, Chelsea Green, Lara Valkyrie, Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, and Zoe Stark. I can tell you who it's definitely not going to be.
Who do you say?
Zoe Stark.
That's a fact.
The other 5, I can give you reasons for the other 5.
I am giving the Money in the Bank to Chelsea Green.
Oh, please. You know how bad I want this.
Yeah. I sat down there and I thought about it. I was like, Lyra, normally you don't give the Money in the Bank to a face.
No.
So let's look at the heels.
It's Chelsea, it's Tiff, and it's Io. And I think Io doesn't make sense with the storyline right now and her losing.
Yeah, Io needs because right now Io's in that if y'all don't win, I need to do something about this.
Yeah.
So her winning the Money in the Bank doesn't play into that. Tiff right now with the Nia Jax situation doesn't make sense. And Chelsea can
win the Rumble.
Tiff can definitely win the Rumble. And then with Chelsea, it's Chelsea. I feel like Triple H has always had like a soft spot for her.
And it will help the briefcase a lot more for any of these to have Chelsea with the briefcase compared to anybody else.
With Chelsea with a Piper.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to go Chelsea.
You know what? I want Chelsea to win. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go Chelsea. I think Tiff is the safe pick, obviously. I could see Naomi as the third pick as well. Look at Roman Blackout's going on with the storm. Lovely. So yeah, if I did get disconnected, let you know.
The storm is going crazy right now. So, but yeah, no, we got, if you look at it, to me, the Chelsea pick is the Kalani Jordan pick. And in NXT for the.
Yeah, we were wrong about Kalani, but I'm glad she's been champ. She's been awesome.
Yeah.
The men's Money in the Bank. Jey Uso, Carmelo Hayes, Andrade, Chad Gable, LA Knight, or Drew McIntyre?
I am going to go with Drew McIntyre.
Me too.
And the only reason why I'm not choosing Jey is because I have a feeling Jey's winning the Rumble.
I could see that. And I think you got to build up still to the bloodline feud. He's going to be a bigger part, and I don't know if you want the briefcase on him. My backup pick would be Carmelo right now, because I think he's someone that could be elevated from the briefcase. Andrade, I don't see. Chad, I think he's doing the stuff with the Wyatts, so I don't see that. LA Knight's going to be doing the stuff with Logan, so I don't see that. I don't know if we're simpatico on this. Drew's winning this, and he's going to go try to cash in. Briefcase is officially going to be cashed in. And then
we know
Mr. Phil Brooks.
If the men's Money in the Bank is first,
I think it will be. Then you know Phil's coming.
Then it's Drew.
Yeah.
If the Money in the Bank is like the second last match, I'm going to change my pick at that point.
And are you kind of the same way as I am? He's going to win it, and then Phil's going to cost him?
If it opens.
Okay.
But if it doesn't open, and it's like later on in the card, I'm going to go with Chad.
Okay, so you're saying if it's first, then Drew wins, and then Punk screws him in the title match when he cashes in? But if it's later, you're going to go with Chad because Punk will screw him in the ladder match. Okay, I can agree with that.
Yeah. And the only reason why I'm going with Chad is because I think not that Chad is going to use it on the world title. He's going to use it on the IC title.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can see that. Yeah. Can see that. So there's Money in the Bank. I think it's going to be a fun show. Toronto crowds are always good. Thank goodness it's an international crowd and not in America, because those America crowds have been really bad.
Oh, they've been really bad.
All right, let's get to Heat Wave, because I feel like my power's about to go out from the store. Yeah,
let's get through this one quickly.
Okay, we have a tag match with Carmen Petrovic and Ariana Grace against JC Jane and Jasmine Nix. I'm going to go with Jane. Okay, I'm going the other way. I'm going with Petrovic and Grace.
I'm going JC Jane because of that whole Kalani Jordan. Not Kalani Jordan. Country Girl. Everything's going to be all right. Fallon Helly. Because it seems like they're trying to make a new Toxic Attraction with Fallon in it.
Seems like it, yeah.
Yeah.
We have the Tag Team Championship. We have Nathan Frazier and Axiom taking on Chase U. I will pick still Frazier and Axiom to retain the titles.
I'm going to pick Chase U because it seems like Nathan Frazier is looking at solo titles over the tag titles.
Yeah, I could see that as well. North American Championship, Kalani Jordan taking on Sol Roca. I think it's just too soon to change it from Kalani, so I'll pick Kalani to win.
I'm going to pick Kalani to win this one.
Oba versus Wes Lee. If Lee loses, he can never challenge for the championship again.
I'm going to choose Wes Lee, but I'm going to choose it as interference from Moose.
Okay, I like it. Yeah. I'll pick Oba, but I like that. Roxanne Perez versus Lola Vice. Look, about 4 days ago, I would have picked Lola Vice to win, but then the promo happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now I wonder if they lost a little bit of faith after that really bad Lola Vice promo.
I am choosing Roxanne. And that's not saying Roxanne is a good promo, but was better than that Lola Vice promo.
That was bad.
Yeah.
That was very bad. And then Fatal 4-Way for the NXT Championship. Trick, Javon Evans, Ethan Page, and Sean Spears. I feel like a Canadian is walking away with this. And as cool as it would be for Sean Spears to have it, I do think this is Ethan Page winning this match.
I'm still going to go with Trick.
Nice.
And I'm only choosing that because right now they're kind of booking him as the guy. And I don't think they want him to lose it unless he's actually losing a one-on-one match.
Yeah, I can see that. By the way, and getting just to see Javon Evans is going to be great.
Oh, yeah. Javon Evans is, young OG. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to wrap up because I'm pretty sure my power is about to go out here. So for Senator and for myself, everyone, enjoy.
Real quick. Let me just say this one last thing real quick. I want to shout out my sister. She just put out a children's book. So if you have kids.
Oh, yeah. I've been seeing that.
So yeah, if you have
kids. Give me the link for it, and I'll put some stuff on FTN.
Yeah, for sure. So if you have a kid, it's on Amazon. It's called Raquel and Jess. Go check it out. It's available on Kindle, available on paper copy. I got my copy. I don't even have kids. Just go support.
I got nieces and nephews, so I'll get it for them. Great. Yeah, send me the link. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the weekend. Cheers.